Welcome to Seth's Daily Podcast. Without you, this wouldn't be possible. I want to thank you guys for subscribing. We are blessed enough to have an interview with Greg Lorette. How are you doing today, man?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, sir.
No problem, man. Thanks for being on.
Thanks, Seth.
Tell the people about yourself and what you're running for.
Sure. So my name is Greg Lorette. I live in New Orleans, Louisiana, and I'm currently running for the Louisiana 2nd Congressional District. So that's U.S. House of Representatives. It's a seat that was recently vacated by Cedric Richmond, who resigned to go work for the Biden administration. So I'm a U.S. Army veteran. I was an air traffic controller in the Army. I'm an IT computer security guy and Microsoft and cloud and a little bit of everything else with computers. And I was just very fed up what's going on in this country in the last several years. The way that it's kind of going, the direction that's going in, and I had no choice but to really run for office. So I'm running for Congress, and early voting starts this coming Saturday, actually. And the election day is March 20th.
Yeah. And speaking of that, you worked for Google for not Google, Microsoft for 10 years, and you can actually, you know how like the big tech works and stuff. So you could definitely, you know a lot about the censorship and all that stuff.
Correct. So I worked for Microsoft. I worked for Citrix, and I worked for Dell, among many other companies. If you want me to go a little bit in, if you want me to go in detail of what I did at Microsoft and Citrix, I can, to give them an idea. What's that?
Go ahead.
Okay, good. So basically, I was on the support side, both at Microsoft and Citrix, but I was at the highest levels of support. So if there was an issue that a customer had, an enterprise customer had, they'd come to my team to be resolved. We went so deep that a good percentage of the cases that we worked resulted in an actual code fix being done either to the operating system in the case of Microsoft, because I was on the Windows team, and at Citrix, it was code fix actually made to their products. So we had to figure it out, whatever the problem might have been, whether it be a configuration on a server, whether it be a code defect change. But in that, I have to fully understand all the inner workings of all the systems that talk to each other. So a really in-depth understanding of computers and cybersecurity and protocols and everything that goes into that. And so having that knowledge, yes, I am very well equipped to understand the technical details behind how companies like Twitter, Facebook, or whomever might operate. So I can actually speak their language.
Yep. And there's a lot of people running, so there's a great opportunity for a Republican to flip the seat.
Absolutely. So there are 15 people running. There are eight people that claim to be Democrats. There's one no party, one independent, one libertarian, and four Republicans, including myself. I'm the only America First Republican running. Actually, the endorsed candidate, when I say endorsed candidate, the Louisiana Republican Party Louisiana Republican Party actually endorsed a guy. So it seems like a nice guy to me. I've talked to him several times. I don't have anything personally against the guy, but he's an immigrant from Jamaica. He was told to be a Democrat. He's a black gentleman. He was told to be a Democrat. That's what black people do. So he was a Democrat. And he actually admits to voting for Obama, Biden administration twice. So, I'm not a candidate that's going to have people tell me what to do. I'm going to, I'm America First, and I'm a patriot. I've been that way since I was, a young child. But so on to flipping the seat. Probably the most critical part of this is that people in my district, most of them are not even aware that there's an election going on. So this is a really good opportunity for us to turn out the conservative votes and reach into those Democrat voters that are reasonable and are going to vote our way because they see the light. But if we get the voters out, I do believe we can actually flip the seat. Technically, it's not flipping it because it's empty, but it really is flipping it because it's a very gerrymandered district. It's gerrymandered to be Democrat. So I do believe we have an opportunity here to turn the seat into a Republican seat, in the short term, at least.
And you're an Army veteran, too.
Yeah, so I'm an Army veteran. I served in the early to mid-90s. I was
For your service.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, sir. I was an air traffic controller in the Army, so that was a fun job. And you know, so sometimes you're in a fixed base center, sometimes you were out in the field and so forth. But yes, sir, I'm an Army veteran. Thank you.
And you're an NRA lifetime member and instructor.
That's correct. So I'm a NRA lifetime member. I'm an NRA instructor. I'm certified to teach several different classes through the NRA. Over the years, I've also been a Texas concealed handgun license instructor. I've been a Louisiana concealed handgun license instructor, and I've been a Utah concealed handgun license instructor. At one point, I became a notary so that I would be able to teach a class that enabled people to go through my class, kind of an extended version, and certify them in multiple states and help them apply for their concealed handgun license and, you know, in multiple states. On that point, I'm also in favor of a constitutional carry. In Louisiana, we are allowed to open carry as long as it's not concealed without a permit, and you're free to carry concealed or unconcealed in your vehicle. But as long as you're not otherwise prohibited by law from possessing the firearm, I have no problems with constitutional concealed carry, which some states do have.
And what do you think about the Russia hoax and the failed impeachments of President Trump, which the left, instead of giving people the right to go back to work and the people their checks for the coronavirus checks, instead of doing that, they have the stimulus checks. Instead of giving people stimulus checks, they have tried to impeach a guy that's not even president anymore.
Well, there's a lot to unpack there. So there's several things we can go through it into detail here. We can spend some time on these things. So first of all, the impeachment's easy. That's an easy thing to address. Both impeachments were, President Trump was totally right. They were complete shams. You know, the first impeachment was supposedly over this phone call, which was completely legitimate. You know, does President Trump always go about things in the most suave manner and the way he articulates things? Maybe not, but so what? He's got truth on his side, and his questions were very valid, very valid concerns. There were real issues there. And then on the second impeachment, I was telling you earlier that there was a there was an interview today on PT News Network with John Sullivan, who was arrested and currently on bond for federal charges related to the Capitol invasion. And he sees nothing wrong with what he did. And it's documented that he planned to enter the Capitol prior to it happening. So, President Trump did not incite people to go into that Capitol. It was definitely a sham impeachment. I don't believe there was any debate even before it happened. Now, so that's the impeachment issue. The Russia hoax issue, I'm really glad you brought that up, because the person who is the media favorite to win this election, I'm not going to mention his name, but he's endorsed by Cedric Richmond, the former office holder. If he gets elected, it's going to be more of the same. There's a tight circle around the powers to be, the Clintons, the Bidens, all these people. And if this gentleman gets elected, or even the other person who's maybe the media favorite, the two media favorites to win. It's going to be more of the same. The Russia collusion hoax. You know, Dan Bongino tells this story. You're familiar with Dan Bongino, right?
Mm-hmm. The former cop.
What's that?
The former cop.
Well, right. Former cop and former Secret Service agent. He tells the story very, very well. And he explains that it's it was a movie script that they tried to play before on John McCain, but it didn't work out when they tried to do it to him. But they literally, had operatives network and take actions to try to insert a disinformation campaign and have an FBI investigation, surrounding that. And then, it was right out of the liberal playbook, the current day liberal playbook. And we're seeing that time and time and time again, that us conservatives, America First patriots, are allowing these left-wing extremists to have a field day and plant these disinformation campaigns. And we are being far too nice to them. It's time to call bullshit to that. So I could go on and on about the Russia hoax, but the biggest point is that it is a hoax. And it's really interesting that we don't hear anything more really about that. We hear very little about that now. It's always the next thing, right? But if you go back and look at history, you'll find that the liberals are wrong time and time again on this. And you brought up some other topics there. I'm not sure if I wrote them down. If you want to remind me, the checks and so forth.
What's that?
You said the checks, the coronavirus.
Oh yeah, the stimulus checks.
The stimulus checks, yeah. So one of the most frustrating things to me is when I'm in these debates, or you call them candidate forums, when this COVID-19 pandemic is brought up, the only response that I'm hearing from the other candidates is about sending these stimulus checks out. What we need to be doing is and
get people back to work.
We need to put people back to work. Correct. We need to put people back to work and reopen the economy. And so there are specific things that we can be doing there to put people. We need to protect the vulnerable. That's for sure. If you're older and you have vulnerabilities, medical vulnerabilities, you need to be protected. But there's scientific data coming out every single day that we could be following to help reopen the economy. I just came from CPAC in Florida, and Florida's pretty darn open right now. They're looking pretty good. Texas is getting closer to, seeing the light. But but the only, to say that the way to deal with the coronavirus is just to send people more money all the time, that's not the answer. And in the case of unemployment, I can see doing a continued bump, if somebody is really working hard to find a job. Because if they're unemployed, because of this virus that originated from Wuhan, China, the WHO covered up, it's not their fault. But we need to be putting people back to work, yes, sir.
What about election integrity, man? Because there have been... obviously, the election was stolen, in my opinion. That's just my opinion.
Well, election integrity, several different aspects to that there. First of all, you have big tech that played a big part in election integrity here. There's a few things here. Let me write them down so we can kind of go through them. We have big tech, okay? We have the state constitutions, right? And then we have
mail-in voting.
What's that?
Mail-in voting.
Yeah, mail-in voting. We have mail-in voting and voting machines. So first of all, on big tech is directly affecting the elections. For example, a few weeks before this election, a few weeks before the November election, there was this Hunter Biden laptop story that came out. And I'm not referring to the New York article that came out. I'm referring to when the contents of the laptop started being released. I don't remember what the website name was, but it was a video sharing website. And there was an article that came out that said that they were censoring, that Twitter was censoring the videos from that site. Well, I was just curious, so I did a test tweet, and I tweeted to the root domain of that site, just as a test, not a specific video. My Twitter account was immediately locked. It was an automated lock that occurred. I appealed that Twitter lock, and it was turned around. So I could eventually unlock it after maybe 2 or 3 weeks time frame. But anybody who was tweeting to valid information from that site was being censored. That's just one example of how big tech was censoring information from getting to people. Big tech needs to be dealt with, and we need to remove 230 protections or clarify what Section 230 actually means for big tech. Another thing is the state constitutions. You know, if the state constitution allows for legislators to pass laws to modify the election, that's fine. But what we saw happen here was COVID-19, the pandemic, being used as an excuse to allow Secretary of States and other people in state government that's not in the state legislatures to arbitrarily change the rules last minute in conflict with their state constitutions. And that in itself makes it makes the election illegal and quite frankly unconstitutional and fraudulent. Then we've got the you mentioned mail-in voting. That's a big concern if it's not done properly. We don't need to be sending ballots out automatically. And we've got these voting machines. We got Dominion voting machines that are being investigated. Exactly what the story is with Dominion, I'm not really sure. But there's a lot of concerns about the Dominion voting machines. I want to kind of talk about that for just a minute. Is that all right?
Yes, sir.
Is it if I talk about the voting machines here for a minute?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you so much. So, thank you. And you can drop the story. Greg's fine. So, we are currently in an RFP to upgrade our voting machines here in Louisiana. There's a bid going out, and there's thoughts that the only people that could satisfy the bid is Dominion. Our Secretary of State seems to be in favor of keeping Dominion voting machines. We're using them right now for early voting. Okay, so our Secretary of State has gotten up there and stated that our elections are safe and secure. However, in the same RFP, he actually talks about using .NET 4.5. And they're very specific in their version numbers in this RFP. Well, being a Microsoft specialist and a tech guy, I know that .NET 4.5, not a dot version after that, but just .NET 4.5, has been out of security support for Microsoft since 2016. So to translate what I'm saying here, they can't get security fixes anymore for .NET 4.5. So if the RFP is correct, and I have no reason to doubt that it is, because he's actually talking about an upgrade and how they were looking to upgrade the version of it within the RFP. So I believe that it's correct. He's de facto admitting in the RFP that the elections have been unsecure in Louisiana since 2016. He doesn't realize he's saying that. So he's basically admitting that, yeah, they have not been secure since 2016. One more point about Dominion real quick. On Dominion's website, they state that they're being the subject of a disinformation campaign. Now, I'm not going to comment whether that's true or false. I haven't forensically examined the machines myself, but there are many things that are very concerning, like their adjudication process. However, they go on to state that third-party fact checkers have checked and made sure that they are in fact secure. Third-party fact checkers. Well, I'll tell you what, having third-party fact checkers check it doesn't get me a warm fuzzy. And from all the years that I've worked for major technology companies, Citrix, Microsoft, and Dell, with over 25 years of hardcore experience working as an IT professional, I have never seen a reputable software/hardware company say that we have third-party fact checkers validate this. Instead, what they would do is they'd come up with a statement, like Microsoft or Citrix, Dell, whoever, Cisco, whoever you might be. They say, here's the way it is. You know, they could be as vague or as specific as they want to be, and they can get sued, and it comes out in discovery. I don't see, you know, so when Dominion says that a third-party fact checker has checked this and said that we're right, that just doesn't give me a warm fuzzy at all.
Yeah, can I play you some audio from what Joe Biden said about the – he put sure. together one of the biggest election fraud in American the biggest election fraud organization in American history. Let's see if I can find that. Comes out of an end of Did you hear that?
I don't think I heard it because you
sorry about that.
That's sorry. Can you play it one more time?
Yes, sir. Thanks. If I can find it.
Out of Joe Biden's mouth. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
I did.
I fact checked on that.
Was that?
I got fact checked for sharing that on Facebook from YouTube.
I actually do remember. I do remember that clip coming out. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you got fact checked for that, huh?
Yeah. No surprise.
Dan Bongino actually, I think at some point, pointed that out too, and I'm not sure if I heard it somewhere else or not. Besides that, but interesting thing about Joe Biden is his so-called gaffes, whatever you know. I don't like that term personally, but it's interesting. Sometimes he says things that are correct. He just forgets what the party line is. He forgets what he's supposed to say and just blurts out, you know, the truth sometimes. So, you know, it's awfully convenient that he didn't leave his, you know, basement bunker to campaign for you know, to be the president of the United States. It's very, very interesting. And if you look, you know, if you look at the support behind Trump, you know, and Trump's received more votes in this election than any other Republican president ever. You know, it's, and then you got the question with Dominion and everything else. And there was, you know, there's a lot of ways to manipulate this election. Based on a couple surveys that were done, 17% of Biden voters had what I call buyer's regret, buyer's remorse, just days after the election when they found out about the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden story that, you know, that was censored from them prior. So how exactly they did it, it was a number of ways, but I do absolutely agree with you that President Trump won that election fair and square. The election was stolen. Absolutely. I do. If that's what you're saying, I do agree with that. You know, it was a number of different channels, and big tech had a big part of it too.
Yeah. I think there was more people that voted than what there is of registered voters in the United States.
And, you know, just to comment a little bit on that too. Since we're kind of talking about this a little bit, people like to point at these court cases that, you know, that the courts didn't take on. Well, first of all, these court cases were done on a very emergency basis, you know, prior to Congress certifying the election. And just because the Supreme Court doesn't take up a case, it doesn't, you know, or other courts for that matter, it doesn't necessarily speak to how valid the merit of the case itself. In fact, are you familiar by chance with the Texas lawsuit, the one that we thought might go forward? the one that Texas filed, and then multiple other states joined in with Texas?
Oh, yeah. There was like, I wish Kentucky was one of the states that sued as well, but right. they wasn't.
But
actually, you know, our Secretary of State got some backlash for not suing.
Right. So, you know, that particular lawsuit didn't go forward, if I recall correctly, and hopefully I'm not getting my facts confused, but I think I'm correct here. As I recall, they decided that Texas didn't have standing. But I believe the legal argument that they were making was very valid. So, you know, but the key is here that we have, as I was stating before, multiple states made changes to their election process. Some states, I don't remember what states it is off the top of my head, went out to parks and had people sign up and vote at parks. Crazy voter drives and heavily liberal areas trying to skew the results of the election. And they didn't go through the state constitution to do it. There's multiple ways that they did it. So, you know, and sometimes the courts are hesitant to step in and say, okay, well, this is a, you know, this is a this branch of government issue or this branch of government issue. And they're trying to, you know, be legal in their decisions there. But and so part of what needs to happen in Congress, we need to pass solid election integrity laws. And we need to make sure that every vote, every legal vote matters, that we need to, you know, we need to have a system in place where we know that your vote is being counted. If your vote is being counted properly, it's not being counted twice, and you've been vetted that you're authorized to vote. You know, in 2021 here, you know, we are so technology advanced now. We're so cutting edge. It's amazing to me that we're having these. It's amazing that we're having all these problems. Let me tell you something else about Dominion voting machines too. So get back to that for a minute. I believe that their software is written out of the country. I have good reason. You know, I don't know what being said about Dominion is true and what's false on some of the claims, but I have good reason to believe that the software, at a minimum, wasn't originally developed just for the U.S. elections. With so many unemployed people, including unemployed programmers in the U.S., I mean, the U.S. is the home for Microsoft, Google, Apple, all these major tech companies. I see no reason why in the U.S. election we should be using software or hardware from a company that it isn't 100% U.S. made. And honestly, end of discussion on it. End of discussion. If it's not produced in the U.S., we should not be using it for election purposes. End of discussion.
Yeah, I seen something about like Joe Biden. Like, I don't know if you've seen this, but he took a bunch of oil jobs from up in the Dakotas and stuff. And I think it was 11,000 jobs just at the beginning. And I think he gave the jobs to China, actually.
Well, I know that he, you're familiar with the Keystone Pipeline, what he did there.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, he, day one in office, he shuts down construction of the border wall. You know, amazingly, we have these slits in the border wall now. That, you know, we have drainage issues going with that. They need to be dealt with. It was in the process. People can just simply walk up and walk right around the little wall and go right through and into the country. You know, effectively fired people on day one by stopping construction of that border wall. And then in the same flick of a pen, you know, terminated all these jobs from people that are working on the Keystone Pipeline. And then, you know, just like when he said, oh, you know, you should learn the code. You familiar with that comment, learn the code? You know, he said, you know, to suggest that those people on the Keystone Pipeline can go get a job in solar energy, you know,
disrespectful.
What's that? Yeah, very disrespectful. I am a total fan of solar energy. I love solar energy. It's, you know, it's wonderful. We should get tax credits for using solar energy, but it's not practical to say that, you know, thousands of people working on the Keystone Pipeline or similar work can go just suddenly get a job in solar energy. Just like it's not practical that a hotel worker, a hotel or restaurant worker laid off from COVID can go become a coder. I'll tell you what, it's not easy to go code. So Joe Biden is completely out of touch, completely out of touch. And, you know, we should be furious. And, you know, it's really interesting how the news media isn't covering more of this, just like they're not covering this current election that's going on. This is kind of a big deal. We have two separate positions right now in Louisiana. You know, the election could go either way for both of those positions. One of them is a Republican, typical Republican position in the 5th district, and the other one is a typical Democrat position in the 2nd district, both of which have an election on March 20th. The news media is just nowhere to be found, just like they're nowhere to be found when Joe Biden makes these ridiculous comments.
Exactly. And there's been disinformation campaigns from the left.
Oh, they are all about their disinformation campaigns. You know, they are an expert at disinformation campaign. they will take something, throw it out there, and then when you respond to it, you know, they attack you for responding, and then, you know, and then they say, oh, you know, they've got a whole playbook. And you know, and frankly, you know, I'm in a very poor district. It's majority Black and majority Democrat. And fortunately, my district, I don't believe is very big in Antifa and Black Lives Matter. I don't think that BLM and Antifa play a big role in my district specifically, like they do in many other districts, even though we are mostly Black. I don't believe that Black people, most Black people appreciate the Black Lives Matter, you know, organization. And they can call themselves whatever they want and say, oh, you know, it's not official, or we have these subdivisions of them. No, it's an organization, and they're hand in hand with Antifa. And what they are is, you know, they're terrorists, and they're all about this disinformation, all about disinformation. How can you say a shooting was not justified when the body isn't even cold yet? It's still laying on the ground, and BLM would jump in with their narrative before the body is even cold, before it's even made it to the coroner yet. You know, it's absolutely ridiculous. But the disinformation campaigns, over the top. Are you familiar with the person who got shot in Portland by Antifa?
No.
Okay, so, and you know, some of these things are organized over Twitter, but there was an attack during the protest in Portland, Oregon, where a Patriot Prayer, if I remember correct, member was assassinated by an Antifa person, and they had video footage of it that they recovered after several after quite a while of media coverage and research. They finally issued an arrest warrant. Interestingly enough, the person who the person who they issued the arrest warrant for, this self-proclaimed Antifa member, he actually did a live news interview that aired at approximately the same time as they were executing an arrest warrant on his house, or at least where he was staying at. And he actually got killed in that. He got killed in that raid, trying to arrest him. And there was another example. How about the one in Colorado, the can drive? You familiar with that one? Where a reporter got shot?
Nod.
But these are all things that they did a can drive like as if it's to help the homeless, but the cans were being thrown at police officers. And there was
definitely some evil people.
There's evil people, and it's when you bring up disinformation campaigns, you know, we need to. There's a lot of disinformation campaigns going on, and as Americans, as just Americans, but certainly as you know, patriots, America first, we need to get back to the truth, and you know, hold people accountable. When I discussed what happened at the Capitol, or the topic came up in our candidate forums, these people that I'm running against, the fellow candidates, were calling me, was calling what I was saying, the truth, a disinformation campaign, doubting where I got my facts from. You know, my facts come directly from the source. And that Steve at PT News, who I know you're familiar with, he covered the event live. He had no idea it was going to happen. He just happened to be covering it live because he was covering both the House and Senate, what was going on in both of those chambers. And it quickly evolved into what it evolved into. But the disinformation campaigns is a huge issue, and it must be dealt with.
Yeah, I don't know if you know this, but there was actually an Antifa member that got arrested in the Capitol riot.
Yeah, I'm not sure which one specifically you're referring to, but tonight PT News interviewed John Sullivan, who's like a BLM kind of Antifa person as well. I'm not sure if that's who you're referring to or not.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, but the disinformation camp, you know, and look, to be clear about the Capitol riot, you know, it wasn't right for anybody to go into the Capitol. They knew it was a secured area. I know people personally that went into the Capitol. That was a dumb move, and it should be dealt with. The people that went in there should be charged. It's simply not okay to do that, to simply ignore and break the law like that. You know, on the same hand though, where's the outrage for these riots that have been going on for not just months, but years, you know? And there's people firebombing federal buildings, firebombing other buildings, attacking police officers, shootings, you know, all this other stuff going on. And with the exception of people like PT News Network, Steve at PT News, very few journalists are, and he's not mainstream media, very few are covering this, you know, what's going on. It just gets a little snippet here and there. I think if the majority of America knew, were actually aware of how bad this country's been with these riots and so forth, they would be furious. It's just not getting the media coverage.
Yeah. And what would you tell the libertarian voters why they should vote for you instead of the libertarian? In my opinion, the Libertarian Party is the party to take votes away from the Republicans. And the Libertarian Party really hasn't done anything for our nation, to be honest.
Sure. So I don't necessarily know a lot about the Libertarian candidate, to be frank with you. I have candidates that I know more about. Ones that I look at as kind of the actual
top vote getters.
Concerns, the people that are likely to turn out the votes. And for me, there's three candidates that are kind of more concerning. But the Libertarian candidate, just like the No Party candidate, hasn't really been terribly concerning to me necessarily. But in terms of the Libertarian Party itself, I looked into the Libertarian Party and thought to myself, you know, might it make sense for me to be a Libertarian? You know, but as I spent some time talking to Adam Kokesh. I was curious about what he had to say. I'm not sure if you know who Adam Kokesh is or not, but he ran for president, and he didn't do very good, but I spent some time talking to him and trying to understand the party a little bit better. And from what I understand about the Libertarian Party, there's levels of libertarianism. And at the very top of libertarianism is actually anarchism. You know, that's that's my understanding. I'm pretty sure that that's correct. I'm hearing this straight from, you know, libertarians who are very knowledgeable. So, you know, I'm for having sensible laws, not a lot of laws, but sensible laws. And I'm not for anarchy. And, you know, if that's the top rung of libertarianism, then, you know, I'm not bought into that.
And, tell people why, if people that normally vote Democrat, why they should vote for you.
Sure. So thank you. That's a great question, because my district is primarily a Democrat. So first of all, the policies that I would like to keep or implement benefit everybody, everybody in our district. Just because, you know, I'm Republican doesn't mean I'm in favor of the rich guy. It's not like that at all. I'm the son of a roofer. I have a special needs sister who's in a who's in Magnolia home for special needs adults. You know, I've gone through tough times myself. I've needed help myself over the years in various ways that I can. But more importantly, though, we need to put people back to work. And we've been, my district here, Second Congressional District, we've not really met the technical bar, if that makes sense. Like right now, we're doing a Zoom meeting. This takes a lot of work just to simply have the technology get on, you know. And a lot of people that are in my district wouldn't even, many of them would, but a good bulk of people wouldn't even be able to get on this meeting and do this. It's too technology challenging. And this is prior to the pandemic. We need to raise the technical level of our people in the district up to be at a point that they can get jobs, whether it be for a local company in Louisiana or an out-of-state company. You know, as long as they're working in Louisiana, it doesn't really matter. The district is so spread out, and the previous office holder that resigned, Cedric Richmond, your Washington, D.C. office is free. And he had three other offices, one in Gretna, one in New Orleans, and one in Baton Rouge. I don't really know how legit of an office the Baton Rouge one was, but when I called the phone number for the offices, if I actually got somebody, which was rare, it was always the New Orleans office at the UNO campus. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have a New Orleans office and maybe another office somewhere in the district, but I'm going to have a mobile office, a mobile district office that travels around. We don't have counties here in Louisiana. We have parishes. So this mobile office is going to travel around and meet constituents where they are. So, you know, if you have a family member who's maybe a veteran, for example, that died and you need some assistance from a congressman and you can't make it to a district office, it's hard. Some people don't have transportation. The transportation is not reliable. There's all kinds of logistical issues. The mobile office is going to be able to come to you. If that's not practical, we could do meetings via Zoom or some other technology. And if that's not practical, we're going to ship the person a tablet. We're going to actually have tablets that are ready to go ship out so the person just can turn it on and you have the meeting or even personally deliver the tablet. It's not that high of a cost to do it. It's actually probably cheaper than gas to drive out to have have somebody drop off a tablet for a 1 or 2 hour meeting with me where necessary. Okay. Also, antibodies testing. Many people have already been exposed to COVID, whether they've simply been exposed to the virus, whether they recover from the virus, or if they've had the vaccine. And some people are well aware that they've already had the virus or they suspect that they may have, but we're getting closer and closer to what's known as herd immunity. And that number changes where herd immunity occurs at. And there's studies coming out every day. One of the first pieces of legislation that I'm going to introduce enables a person to, after they take their antibodies test through a known lab like Quest Lab or whomever it might be, can publish a true finding. To, if they opt in for it, I'm not trying to violate HIPAA laws or anything else, but the person can opt in for it, and that person will get a free pass to go back to work. So it would be a looking to pass a federal legislation that allows people to say, yes, I have antibodies, retest them every 6 months, and they can go back to work without restriction. But between, you know, putting people back to work, increasing the technical level, reopening the economy, I think whether you're Democrat or Republican, I think those are all good reasons to want to vote for me.
What do you think about defunding the police?
Oh, I'm glad you asked about that. So, you know, one of the candidates running has come straight out and stated, the Black Lives Matter candidate, in fact, has come out and stated that he lives in a parish where there's 13 law enforcement agencies and crime is still bad in his parish, so we should just get rid of the police. No, that makes no sense at all. The police in my district, some of them are great, like Jefferson Parish, for example. Last night, I was at a meeting with the Jefferson Parish Sheriff, Joe LaPinto, was there. I was talking to him, and he talked about a recent incident where he didn't even need federal resources that were available to him because he has such an awesome crime lab right there in his own parish. Other parishes, like the one I live in, Orleans, we've been under a federal consent decree for many years because of how awful the police and the sheriff have been and how terrible the jail conditions have been. You know, and there's crime runs rampant in the 8th district, among other districts in Louisiana, and oftentimes police just simply ignore it. So here's my view on policing. First of all, we need to hold police accountable. You know, when they make mistakes and they make errors, we need to have police that want to be there and that are trained well. I look at cities like Plano, Texas, for example, who pays their officers well, an attractive salary, and you want to pay them enough to retain the good officers. You know, whether they're from in-state or out-of-state, you want to properly train your officers and have a really good police have a good police force. So I am the opposite of defunding the police. I believe we need to pay them appropriately, a decent wage, so they want to make it a career, maybe move up, you know, move up, whether it be the department itself, or if the officer wants to move on to become a federal agent at some point, so be it, you know, we need to invest in that. On that point, we'll make one more point here. We have the Justice and Accountability Forum, where they talked about a specific public, a specific federal program that gives military equipment to local police agencies. And they said, you know, are you in favor of ending that program? Of the attendees in that forum, I am the only one that said no to that. It was basically a defund the police question. So no, defunding the police is not the answer. Having said that, we have real police reform issues in this district. I am not denying that. We have a large percentage. I'm not saying the majority. I think Steve from PT News misheard me there when I said that. I'm not talking about the majority, but we have a large percentage of police or law enforcement officers, I should say. Some of them are sheriffs in my district. They need to be addressed. They need to be held accountable. They probably need to find a different line of work. But defunding the police is not the answer. Who's going to, you know, a social worker coming out to a violent situation, you know, a shooting or something else, or a burglar coming to your house is not going to work very well. You know, I said one more point. I'll make another point here. Keep in mind that these rich people that say that, oh yeah, I'm in favor of defunding the police, oftentimes they have their own little private police force, private armed security force going on. So it's really easy for them to say because they're paying for armed guards, and you know, maybe the armed guard is a off duty police officer working a detail. You know, I guess he's kind of on duty, but not on duty for his full time job. It's really easy when you have a lot of money to say, yes, I'm in favor of defunding the police, when you've got your own private bodyguards or security guards. You know, defunding the police is a racist move, and it is disproportionate against minorities, including black people. Black people are not in favor of defunding the police. They want their police to do a good job, and you know, and on that note, a lot of black people are becoming or have been Republicans. And, you know, the Republican Party is growing in the number of black people. So that's a great thing. But, you know, defunding the police is a racist move, and it disproportionately affects black people.
Yeah, most police are good. Just like everything, just like any other job, there's going to be bad people in every profession.
Mm-hmm.
But most police are good.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree.
You're pro-life, right?
I am pro-life, yes. There was a couple questionnaires. There is there's like an iVoter guide, I think it's called. They were pretty detailed in the questions that they asked. I wish I had more time to clean up my grammar and so forth on it, but there's so many surveys you have to do, you know, so many survey requests. But I did do a survey on iVoter guide, which is very detailed and covers a lot of various issues. So people that are curious, they can look at that and get more information. And if anybody has a question, they can always email me or ask on social media or go to the website and, LiretteCongress.com, LIRETTE Congress.com. And they can email press, PRESS, at Lorette.net, ask a question. But on the pro-life issue, you know, I've stated that in extreme cases like incest, rape, other extreme situations, or when a reputable medical doctor says that it's appropriate, in those cases, yes, I can see for a very good reason, terminating the pregnancy in a very, very early stage, if there's a really good reason. But in the large majority of situations, we don't need to be doing any late term abortions or anything of that nature. And that's another topic where, when you talk about black people, this disproportionately impacts black families. They are killing a lot of black babies. And that, tell you what, I don't know where BLM is, about that. It seems like, on that note, last month there was a shooting just a couple blocks behind my house. Black gentleman died on the street, shot by another black individual. It maybe got a minute news coverage total, as far as I'm aware, no more than a minute. There was a shooting tonight, it moved on. Where's the Black Lives Matter outrage over that? Where's the Black Lives Matter outrage over all these, you know, shootings that happen in the neighborhood, these babies being killed in abortion clinics? You know, unless it's a white officer that shoots a black person, which, you know, in most cases turns out to be justified, we don't hear from BLM or Antifa.
Where can people get up with you on Facebook? What's your Facebook page?
They can go to REP Lorette, Representative Lorette, REP LIRETTE. Check it out there. Yep.
And where can people donate to your campaign at?
Sure. So we definitely need donations. The Democrats are, they're outspending us hugely right now. So we need to do more ads, more advertising. We need signs out there. We need radio commercials, some more videos out, and time is short. They can, the quickest way to donate is through WinRed. They can go to greg2021.com, greg2021.com. That's one way. They can Zelle a payment if they like to greg@lirette.net, greg@lirette.net. They can mail a check if they like to the P.O. Box. Greg Lorette for Congress, you make it out to Greg Lorette for Congress. P.O. Box 15,000, that's P.O. Box 15000, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70115. But the quickest way is just to either go to the website, lorettecongress.com, click donate, or Greg2021 takes you to basically the same link. It's the donate link that it takes you to.
Greg, yeah, just send me them links and I'll post in the description on the video.
Absolutely, we'll do. Thank you.
No problem. Man, I appreciate you doing this interview, and maybe in a couple weeks we can do another one if you want to.
That would be great. Yes, we get closer to election. I love to do one. Thank you so much. Thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, man. You have a good night and God bless.
Thank you. God bless you too. Thanks so much.
No problem, man.
Thank you so much. Have a great night.
You too, man.
Bye-bye.
This has been the interview with Greg Lorette. I want to thank him for doing the interview. Without you, this wouldn't be possible. You should definitely vote for Greg Lorette for Congress. I want to thank you guys for subscribing. Without you, this wouldn't be possible. Y'all have a good night, and God bless.